This week, bombshell video of an unhinged public school board member. We have the exclusive tape. Details on a new survey that finds married people are more optimistic about the American dream. And a women's line dance team canceled from a Seattle competition for patriotic attire. These stories and much more coming up this week on The Lion Week in Review. Welcome in to this week's edition of The Lion Week in Review. It's a weekly look at the culture, the courts, your state capitol, and your kids. I'm Chris Stigall. And now let's meet our panel, some of the men and women behind the scenes at readlion.com. Josh Mann is managing editor at The Lion. Michael Ryan, executive editor. And Faith Perkins is a staff writer at The Lion. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Glad you're here today. This is another big week at The Lion. It's always busy. You've got a lot of stories popping, a lot of exclusive things that I know you're very proud of. And Michael, one in particular is kind of explosive, as I understand it. We've been following the story of the tumultuous, I guess, St. Joe School Board in Missouri, St. Joseph School Board.
That's a nice word, tumultuous. Well, this is a story that we've been following for weeks. And there's been surveillance video of this out there. But HeartlanderNews.com, which I also write for, now has a blockbuster video with audio of a school board member in St. Joseph, Missouri, verbally and profanely accosting a colleague or colleagues, for which she's now charged with secondary harassment.
Now, we've talked about this previously, have we not? This story,
yes,
of that we didn't have video of it previously. We just knew that there was some verbal harassment there.
We had surveillance video, which is silent, but this brings in audio.
Oh, my.
So I'm glad you say that, because it is one thing to see the silent video of the incident for which, you know, at one point she does seem to bump into a colleague. But it's quite another thing to hear this incredible string of vulgarities and vulgar threats she issued to her colleague. We counted 21 F-bombs in the span of a minute.
And if my memory serves, this, she's upset over a vote that she did not agree with her colleagues. Is that about right?
Yeah, there was a vote on whether to go to 4-day school week, and it failed 4-3, and she was for it. And apparently one of her colleagues made some comment that she disagreed with, and this is what the incident was about in the halls and various rooms after the meeting on February 26th of this year. So, you know, it's a shocking video when you add in the audio. Not just, you know, the words that are used, but the volume at which they're delivered.
Wow. Well, I'm
Would
glad
you,
you brought
to
it along. I'd love to see it. I have not seen it yet, so we'll roll the tape and watch this one together.
Well, what did you want
to
say?
Yeah, I think
what
she
did you
wants
want
to
say?
Leave.
What
Walk
did
out.
You want to say about my daughter? What did you want to say about my f***ing daughter?
Keep going.
What did you want to f***ing say?
Keep going.
Turn your f***ing around. You have something to f***ing say about what I did? I f***ing swear to God. Say it again, allude to it again. I don't give a shit. I will fuck you up. You think you get to say whatever the fuck you want and talk about Tony's fucking kids? You don't, you sack of shit. About my fucking kid, Kim Miller? Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck both of you, all three fucking spineless pieces of shit. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, wow.
You're worthless sack of shit, but you say a fucking word about my fucking kid again, I will fuck it.
Hey, hey, hey.
Wow, it's mature.
Say it! I'm done! No, we can keep going, kid!
No,
talk
guys.
About my f***ing kid!
Wow. So I guess two things I take from that. Number one, Christmas cards won't be exchanged. But number two, this woman seems... Who is this woman? She seems genuinely unhinged, like off her rocker, Josh. Who is that?
So this is Whitney Lanning. She's a school board member in the St. Joseph School District and also executive director of CAP St. Joe, which works there in town. And yes, clearly she is upset. As Michael said, she's been charged with second-degree harassment, which in the probable cause statement, the police detective or whoever it was had said that witnesses recalled that she made verbal threats And, you know, clearly now we have this audio that reveals some of those threats.
I wonder, St. Joe Media, I know that market a little bit. Has this been shown there yet? Do the citizens of St. Joe know that their school board's got such an unhinged member on it?
The surveillance video has been out there without the audio, but this brings the audio in for the first time, and it's an exclusive.
Wow. Yeah. Well, tremendous work on it. I wonder where it goes from here. What's the status? Because I know there's been some suggestion that this person be removed from the school board. Where has that gone?
So far, you know, she's I think, in her second year. She wasn't up for re-election, so she's still on the school board. I'm not exactly sure how recall would work at St. Joseph School District. Some leaders have called for her resignation at both her employer and at in the school district. She also appeared in court April 3rd and pled not guilty to the charge of harassment. And she also asked for a change of venue. That's the latest that I am aware of in terms of her court case.
Yes, and we also reached out to the board of directors for the nonprofit she's an executive director for in St. Joseph, called Cap St. Joe, for comment as to what they thought of the video, because they hadn't seen it before either, before we let them take a look at it, and whether they'll stand behind her, and so far no comment.
Wow. This is something that, you know, the dogged determination of the journalists to lie, and so glad you got your hands on it. I would think this is an invaluable service to citizens in town who have not seen this or heard this yet. Any idea where this could go, I guess I'll ask, or do we know, or is it moot at this point, or does this bring maybe a new element to the story than before?
I'm not aware of a video like this anywhere in the country. So I'm imagining that it will garner some attention nationwide.
Yes.
The second thing I would say is that everybody in the St. Joseph School District should see this to make their own mind up as to whether it's appropriate.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we'll continue to follow that one, of course. Fantastic work. That's the kind of stuff you see at readlion.com. Also, the story of the transgender guidelines that we've been debating in the United States. The UK long ago, Josh, has already gone through all of this that we're now experimenting with domestically. And now the UK, well ahead of us, has said we should stop doing this, where we're just kind of entertaining it here in the States.
That's right. We're seeing a lot of European countries who are ahead of us in terms of treating gender dysphoric youth, pumping the brakes, and yet the U.S. is full steam ahead. This latest report, the story you're alluding to, is from a pediatrician in Britain who was reviewing transgender so-called care in the country and basically found that these procedures and policies are not evidence-based. They're not based on any long-term studies, and there's just really weak support for the protocols that are pretty much taking place. And so I think it's a big wake-up call, and I think folks in the U.S., it's a politicized issue here. Clearly, people have sort of lined up on two sides over it. But I think there's a common-sense approach, and there's got to be some kind of fair medical look at what is the evidence? Regardless of how you feel about it, these treatments have long-term effects, and we don't really understand those. And we see a number of these kids when they become adults, for example, young ladies who might have a double mastectomy at age 16, a few years later, regret their decision. They want to have kids. Some puberty-blocking medications and hormone medications cause infertility, preventing the ability to have children. So this is a huge issue, and I think as we see these reports come out, I think it's, you know, fair to say let's also pump the brakes here and take a hard look at this.
Yeah, Faith, I know that some stories have covered this by way of legislatures that have tackled it, but as kind of a national discussion, it I don't know that it's really been surveyed. Normally people do surveys on everything, and yet for some reason this, I don't know if it's still new enough. Do you think that the national sentiment is for or against the idea of waiting and not allowing minors to do these things like the UK is now suggesting? Where do you think people are with this in the country?
I think a lot of people would like to see more time and more studies be done, especially because most things, considering minors, medical-wise, there is a long study done before they ever give it to minors.
Yeah, Michael, this doesn't seem difficult to understand, and amazing yet that domestically a lot of children's hospitals are still monkeying around with this stuff.
Well, I think to answer your question along with Faith, people need to have more information before they can form solid opinions on this. And there aren't too many places where you can get solid information on this. And like the story that we ran is one of the few places where you can. So you really can't trust the media at this point. I love one of the quotes in our story. And let me preface it by saying any knowledge at all, particularly science or medical science, depends entirely on open-minded inquiry, all right? But here's a quote from our story. There are a few other areas of healthcare where professionals are so afraid to openly discuss their views, where people are vilified on social media, and where name-calling echoes the worst bullying behavior. To educate yourself, I would strongly recommend the book Irreversible Damage by Abigail Schreier. It's an authoritative, journalistic, deep dive into the topic. But the thing is, I looked it up, and the book's Wikipedia page, which has obviously been taken over by somebody other than the author, attempts to shoot the whole thing down in the first paragraph of the Wikipedia entry on irreversible damage. And then I did a Google search on social contagion with transgenderism, and I got this onslaught of liberal attacks on the very possibility, just the possibility, that this could be a social phenomenon rather than a biological one.
And, you know, keeping with the theme of last week and journalism and access to information, this strikes me as maybe the second time, maybe there's more, but this is the second prominent time in as many years, really, where COVID before it seems verboten that it has a challenging opinion on everything from masking to shots to its spread to how you catch it and whether it's that deadly. All of those things once upon a time could not be debated, much like this.
Yeah, and, you know, we used to champion academic freedom, and certainly in medical research you would expect some kind of go where the evidence leads approach to things. But I think we did see with COVID that wasn't happening, that there were people, for whether good reasons or bad, whatever reasons they may have come up with, they were squashing dissent, and we're seeing it in the medical community. We've heard from some doctors, you get some whistleblowers, but then oftentimes those whistleblowers report, yeah, I'm hearing from all kinds of colleagues, but they're just really unwilling to talk about this because they don't want, they're afraid of the pushback, they're afraid of sort of getting canceled.
Hmm. It's, when you get to a point in the country where you can't trust your doctors, that's a scary place to be. Faith, moving on to a story that you have here at the Lion this week. It reminds me of a story that you guys covered a couple of 3 weeks ago, a kid that wanted to display an American flag in his truck in the school parking lot. This time it's a country line dance team, right?
It is, yeah. So the Borderline Dance Team was invited to Seattle on April 6th to perform. But when they showed up in their red, white, and blue American flag themed tank tops, they were effectively asked not to perform unless they changed their tank tops, and they refused.
Now, this is a private competition of some kind. It's not a government entity we're talking about.
Correct.
Yeah. So, Michael, the American flag now triggering to so many, I guess.
Yeah, of course, I'm triggered by dance, so I was going to be triggered either
dancing.
Way.
Yeah,
but it is really rich for a couple of reasons. Number one, in recent days and weeks, you've seen Hamas flags and gear showing up on American streets. That's interesting. And the other thing is, if you're offended by a country's flag, maybe you should be in a different country.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm wondering how long a country that is ashamed of itself can remain a country. You know, it's interesting, though. There were a couple of teams that had red, white, and blue uniforms they got in trouble for. They're having the last laugh. Both teams have been invited to D-Day celebrations in Normandy.
Wow.
In June. And they've got a GoFundMe page out there to help pay to get them there.
I tell you what. You want to talk about a patriotic experience, do that if you ever get the chance. The D-Day celebration in Normandy. I've had the privilege, and that is really amazing. Josh, I'm reminded of soccer, and I'm not a huge soccer fan, but if you watch any kind of soccer competitions, if there's one thing that I know about soccer, it's national pride. These countries, when they get together in the World Cup, they wave their flags, they're proud of their country. It's seeming that the only country you can't be proud of and display proudly is the United States these days, to Michael's point.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, what, I think we need to just grow thicker skin. I mean, the level, the ease with which folks are offended and then complain and then petition the government for, you know, some kind of cancellation of those with whom they disagree. This is not the American way. This is not the First Amendment. This is not a place where we can thrive, I feel like. We need different ideas. We've got to develop thick skin. I certainly encounter ideas I disagree with all the time. Some people say offensive things about my Christian faith, for example. But we can't just cancel everyone because, you know, the people who are calling for the cancellation of their opponent, they themselves wouldn't want to be canceled or treated this way. And so, I mean, you know, the golden rule still holds. And I think if we could somehow find that, I think we'd be a lot better off.
I often find that the loudest voices wanting to silence others are the ones that are least solid in their own belief system. They just don't like the challenge. It doesn't hold up, Michael.
Yeah. I don't get it. You know, I mean, if you're going to be triggered, you know, if you're going to be triggered by seafood, which I am, don't go to a seafood restaurant. Pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty simple. This is a shocker. Josh, 6 years old. I was reading this today, and I couldn't believe it. A six-year-old involved in a shooting that maybe an elementary school is trying to cover up?
Yeah, so this was a story. The shooting happened last year. The young woman survived. The teacher survived the shooting. And the six-year-old's mother's been in some trouble for a drug and gun-related charge. But here, the special grand jury that was investigating, what was newly uncovered is that the special grand jury is saying there needs to be an investigation as to why this child's disciplinary records suddenly disappeared from the school about the time the shooting occurred. And this Dr. Parrott, an employee of the school district, apparently had some of the student's files in her car or her home. So on the face of it, it looks like perhaps she was trying to cover something up. That's what the special grand jury says. This needs to be investigated.
And Faith, I don't know if that story is more troubling to me for what the school's trying to cover up, or we're at a point now where a six-year-old is involved in a shooting. I mean, these are, you know, that's a cultural story unto itself, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a pretty, I mean, Michael, it doesn't get worse than a six-year-old, you know. I mean, that's a story of parenting, and at home, I guess we could get into that all day long.
Well, it does go to the fact that schools today more and more are hiding things.
Yes.
From parents, especially, but in this case, from law enforcement authorities, too, apparently. I mean, if you're covering up what happened in this shooting, it's not just a crime to cover that up, but you're also not promoting the cause of either teachers, students, or parents.
Also at the Lion this week is a story on a survey, and this will be interesting. I'll throw this one to Faith, as I know she's about to do what this story is all about. You're about to get married.
That's correct.
And the survey says that you're going to be happier for it. A brand new survey that says married people are more optimistic than single people. Do you want to? Now you're single now. You're going to be married soon. So can you guess why that would be? Or maybe you've read the story and can tell me.
Yeah, they say they're more optimistic. They think more highly about their future. I don't. From my personal opinion, I think it's true. Like, I have more to look forward to at the end of the day. And I think going through life with another person and having a partnership is always more beneficial.
Is this pretty consistent that we find families, traditional parent roles, generally happier people? Churchgoers are another one that I often hear have a happier existence on balance.
Yeah, we've seen a few different surveys all pointing to the same thing recently, and we've covered a lot of them. In this specific one, it says married respondents were over 10% more likely to believe that they were better off than their parents were at their age. And essentially, one of the angles of this survey was to suggest or to try to determine, how do people feel about the American dream? Is the American dream still possible? Is it possible to achieve? And they found that these married folks had a much more optimism about the American dream, that yes, we can, and that they felt like they were better off than their parents. And so there was an optimism that was really tied to being married.
I don't know if it's Thomas Sowell or where I once read it, but the likelihood that you would go into poverty married, Michael, is much less.
Yes, and Walter Williams wrote about that a lot, too.
Maybe it was Walter Williams, yeah.
And what we're talking about goes completely against the grain of the culture.
Yeah.
Just completely. As long as I can remember, the culture has been throwing me messages that marriage is awful. I mean, you remember you may be old enough to remember Married with Children, that sitcom, the whole premise of which was marriage sucks.
Yes.
I looked at Reddit, and someone asked, is marriage as terrible as it is on TV? I can't seem to find any show where marriage is depicted positively nowadays. Either the couple is on the way to divorce, or you can tell that they should be. I'm completely in love with my partner. But all these shows have this storyline where the marriage started out great and happy, and then it ends with sadness. And that's what the culture's throwing at you. Now, the good news is that recent trends show marriage rates up, divorce rates down.
And Faith, what about this is not part of the story, but I'll just ask you generally. A lot of the shows have always portrayed, and somebody brought up Everybody Loves Raymond, that show, to me, which I remember when I was younger and I watched it and I was newly married. But somebody brought that up as an example of a show, and many shows are like this where the guy's just a dummy. And that we've kind of shown men as just being dolts for years and years and years. Do you think that's had anything to do with the cultural perception of men?
Absolutely. I think that would have swayed me, but I grew up seeing my parents, and they were my prime example. And my dad has always been the leader of the household and smart, and
yeah.
You know, so I've always not paid attention to the TV show. But had that been my only example, that absolutely would have changed my mindset.
And what about the men at the Lion, for instance? What would you have to say about that?
Brilliant.
Also great
brilliant
examples.
Brilliant. Right. Great brilliant examples.
That's get right. That plug in.
All marrying material. Well, let's go around the horn, as we like to do each week before we wrap it up. I'd like to ask the team their favorite story of the week at readlion.com. Michael, we start with you.
Well, you might be surprised. My favorite is one that we just talked about regarding the school board member in St. Joseph, Missouri.
Oh, my.
We have Blockbuster video and audio now, which depicts the full ferocity of this board member's verbal assault on a colleague.
It's a public service to the people of the St. Joseph, Missouri School Board. I'll tell you that. Readlion.com for more on that. Faith, your favorite of the week.
Yeah, so my favorite's from one of our freelancers, John Ransom. It's high school senior infiltrates a school Satan club led by middle-aged Satan.
Got it. All right, we'll watch for that one. And Josh?
Well, there's a lot of stories that are my favorite. One of them, Scotty Scheffler won the Masters this weekend, and we've got a story up about his faith. And, you know, we like to cover from time to time prominent sports figures or other public figures who are expressing their faith openly.
This is the cultural stuff, the breaking news, and so much more. The commentary, the surveys, the studies, the Lion has them all, and I do hope you'll check it out. And that'll do it for us this week. Be sure to keep up to date on all the latest news at readlion.com. And for all of us at the Lion, thanks for downloading the show, and we'll see you next time.